They'll get the video in a minute. Do you want me to go back? This is really important. We got to get this one. So, do you want me to stay on this and you can just play the... There we go. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yes, stay! Amen. Amen. This is really important. Go ahead. Listen, this is important. Don't take my word for it. Islamic expert Sheikh Yasser Qadhi, according to James White, he's an expert in Islam, an expert in the Hadith. He just told you, sitting in a church building in front of Christians, that not only was Jesus not crucified, it was Judas, but he's coming back as a secondary figure. Now, here's what he didn't tell you. You see, Yasser Qadhi just committed the lie of kitman. In Islam, lying is permissible to the unbeliever. The lying of kitman means the lying of omission. You tell the truth, but you leave some things out. What he didn't tell you was, when that Jesus, according to the Hadith, comes back, he's going to destroy the cross. I'll talk about this in the conference more. He's going to destroy Christianity because all the true Christians will realize we were wrong in the Trinity. And we're going to side with Islam. He's going to kill the pigs. Now, that means the swine animals because they're unclean, but that's also a term for the Jews. So Jesus, the Muslim prophet of Islam, will return, lead an army, hunt around the world. They're going to destroy every cross, destroy every church, dismantle Christianity, and he's going to kill every last Jew on the planet. And finally, he's going to abolish the jizya tax. That's the extortion tax that you pay to be a second-class citizen. And he will be subservient to the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi. I cover that in, we have a DVD called The Islam and God's Judgment in the Last Days, where we talk about prophecy and some interesting aspects of the eschatology of Islam, to look at their eschatology. By the way, they believe they also have an Antichrist. You know who their Antichrist is? Who wants to guess? The Jesus Christ of the Bible. They say that the Antichrist will come on a donkey. They say the Mahdi will come on a riding on a white horse. And he will sign a 7-year covenant. That's what they teach. The Jesus of the Bible, they call him Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal, the false Messiah. But that's how much respect we give to Jesus. Now here's my question to you. If you were sitting in that building, if you were sitting on that couch across from him, what would you have done? Because I tell you right now, I would be jumping out of my chair. Well, first of all, I would have never agreed to go into an interfaith dialogue where I would have agreed ahead of time, no matter what is said, I won't refute you. The man sits across from you and denies the crucifixion of your Lord, and you sit there with a smug look on your face. Forgive me, I'm just pointing what it looked like. What is going on in the church? Now, did James White say, you know what, Dr. Cotty, stop, time out. You can't say, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Nope. Did he correct them afterwards? Nope. Did he go on YouTube afterwards and say, you know what, when James Cotty said this was wrong. Christians don't listen. Nope. He never corrected it. But, you know, we got to get to know our Muslim neighbors. In fact, according to the Sharia law book, it says that the final object of jihad, which is the war against non-Muslims, is going to continue until the descent of Jesus. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to rule by the law of Muhammad and not by the Injil, which was the Gospels. There you go. But other than that, we have a lot in common. So folks, if the crucifixion never happened, there is no resurrection. If there is no crucifixion, if there is no resurrection, you and I are wasting our time being here today. Pastor Woods, let's close up the church, go home. Let's just pack it in. We're done. Because let's face it, all of us have believed a lie for 2,000 years. Right? If this is true, would you agree it's the greatest hoax in human history? If Jesus was never crucified, it's the greatest hoax in human history. And according to Islam, according to the angel Gabriel, it never happened. Yeah, we're sitting in interfaith dialogue and ecumenicalism, and Islam is an Abrahamic faith, and Muslims believe it. How can Muslims believe Jesus is the Messiah if they deny that he was crucified or resurrected? Isn't that the central theme of atonement? Without the cross, without the shedding of blood, you and I have no atonement for our sins. Better line up, Pastor, the sheep and the goats, and let's start getting back to doing sacrifices. You understand? This is how serious this is. Well, but we just want to love Muslims. Listen, like that pastor in Tacoma who said, well, Pastor Hadian, what do you suggest I do? I want to reach this imam from Iran with the gospel. I said, go take him out for lunch. Go buy him a kebab. You don't bring him into the church. Dr. White, if you want to reach to Yasser Qadhi and share the gospel, yeah, go have a meal together. Invite him to your house. Share the gospel. You don't welcome him into the church and give him kudos and say, listen to this man. They deny the Father and the Son. And they said, the Christians, the most merciful Allah has taken for himself a son. Assuredly, you utter a hideous thing whereby almost the heavens are torn and the earth is split asunder and the mountains fall in ruins. Surah 19:88. Surah 5:17, 10:68, 9:30 also asserts the same thing. Allah does not have a son, nor is he a father. In fact, Muslims pray this, as I said, at least 17 times in their daily prayers, reciting in their rakas, their daily prayers, this verse, Surah 112:4, in the Arabic, Lam yalid walam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. In their daily prayers, they're literally saying, Allah is not a father, nor is he a son. What does 1 John 2 and 1 John 4 say? If you deny the Father and the Son, this is the spirit of Antichrist. If you deny Jesus has come in the flesh and he is a Christ, this is the spirit of Antichrist. So let me say it this way. James White invited an Antichrist spirit into the church. I don't know how else to say it. Well, that's harsh, Pastor Hadian. Yes, it's harsh. It's harsh what he did. A man comes into the church and denies Jesus was even crucified, and we're talking about it's wonderful. Now, they also deny the Abrahamic faith. This is why Islam is not Abrahamic. There are three reasons why Islam is not Abrahamic. Number one, there was no Islam during the time of Abraham. That's a duh. Number two, more than 80% of the Muslim population in the world are not Arabs. That's an inconvenient fact. Because for the notion that every Muslim is an Arab is false. In fact, most Arabs are not Muslims. Are they not Jewish Arabs? Christian Arabs? Agnostic Arabs? Sure they are. Arab is not a religious term. So to say that just because you're Arab, because remember, why is the Arab thing tied back to Abraham through Ishmael, right? The concept is, well, if you're of Ishmael, you're Arab. Fine. I don't mind acknowledging that. If you're of the descendant of Ishmael, you're an Arab. But just because you're an Arab doesn't mean you're a Muslim. But here's the most compelling reason. Those are good. It's not as compelling. Here we go, number three, once again, contradictions. Christianity teaches, we're almost done, folks. Christianity teaches that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on the altar on Mount Moriah, right? God gave the covenant promise through Isaac. And more importantly, the seed of the Messiah comes through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, correct? By some estimates, from 150 to 308 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, the most important aspect of the prophecy is lineage, right? It has to be a certain lineage, otherwise God is a liar. So now comes along Islam. Islam shows up 600 years later, remember, by the revelation of the angel Gabriel, and says Abraham was going to sacrifice his covenant son Ishmael, not on Mount Moriah, which is where Jerusalem is, but in Mecca, 900 miles south. Oops. And oh, by the way, he's the covenant son, not Isaac. Well, guess what? If you cut that lineage to Isaac, you've now cut the lineage of the Messiah. Well, guess what? That's what Satan wants to do. Deny the Messiah. Deny him as Lord. And what better vehicle than Islam, who comes and says, he wasn't even crucified. It's all a fun joke by Allah? No, it's the worst hoax in human history if that was true. So Islam cannot be Abrahamic. It's impossible. How can it be Abrahamic if the two covenants deny each other? Does that make sense? Or again, too much logic? Sharam, too much logic. And finally, as you just heard Dr. Cotty, Islam denies that Jesus is coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's coming back as a sidekick, as a prophet, to rule an army. He's gonna get every Christian right. No, he's not, because it's a counterfeit. The true Jesus is returning. The true Jesus is coming back. One final warning for you on this note that I see is very troubling. All this stuff is bad. This one is even just as bad. I see Christians celebrating Ramadan. The billboard you see, or the little yard sign you see, is actually put out by the Minnesota Council of Churches. I saw this in Minnesota when I was there. It says here, to our Muslim neighbors, bless Ramadan. So I asked the question, do Christians know what Ramadan is? You ask a Muslim, what's Ramadan? It's time of fasting. That's partially true. It is time of fasting. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. But what's the real reason behind Ramadan? What was Ramadan? Ramadan is the month, according to Muhammad, and I'll cover this tomorrow morning, that the Quran was revealed. It's the month that the Quran was given to him. Well, you go, well, hold on a second. What are we celebrating if we celebrate Ramadan? Because they, Muslims, are celebrating another revelation, another gospel, another God, another messenger. Islam's revelation is a revelation of what? Refuting the Bible, refuting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Messiah, refuting the cross, refuting the resurrection, refuting the Father and the Son. So if we are celebrating Ramadan, are we not celebrating another revelation that denies our faith? But you know, Sharam, this is going to give us inroads with the Muslim community. You don't understand. They're opening their doors. Oh, sure. They'll open their doors to the mosque and have a iftar dinner and invite Christians to go have a Ramadan meal. They will never allow you and I to share the gospel. And we're blessing it. My God in heaven, what are we doing? We're blessing a revelation that denies our revelation. A house against itself cannot stand. The house divided against itself. Okay? So, to wrap up, did I lose this here? Sorry, one second. I think I froze. Did I step on something? Did I do something? I don't know what I did. I think I did something. I messed up something. I always mess up something. Let me see here. Okay, it's not there. I'll wrap it up. To wrap it up, let me say this. I hope I've shown you today, number one, there is no common word. There is no common God. Islam cannot be Abrahamic. That's a lie. And certainly Muslims cannot believe Jesus the Messiah when they deny he was even crucified. That's impossible. So therefore, what are we called to do? We are called to simply not engage in interfaith or ecumenicalism. We're called to declare the gospel. We said after this James White thing, I said, why are we debating the gospel or dialoguing the gospel? We're supposed to declare the gospel. It's not your message. It's not my message. It's his message. And it's the message that was given to me 19 years ago. Somebody, thank God, had the courage to risk offending me. When I was offended by the gospel, because that's what it says it does, right? Romans 9:33, for the gospel is a rock of offense. But to those who receive it, it gives life. And yet we're here today in 2018. And sadly, even conservative churches are engaging in this nonsense, this erroneous, unbiblical practices. And ultimately, what we don't recognize is you're actually joining forces with an Antichrist spirit. We're covenanting with an Antichrist spirit. I pray we have the wisdom, the revelation, the knowledge to repent. Lord, forgive us. Raise up your bride. Purify your bride. Get us back on track to fulfilling the Great Commission. We are not going to see these Muslims be saved. How can this Muslim be saved when we're telling them you worship the right God, you have a right revelation, you just have to tweak a couple of things? How can we save them if we say, you can believe in Jesus and stay inside the mosque? Or you can be a messianic Muslim. Or let us change our Bibles for you and contextualize them so we don't offend you. None of that is going to bear fruit because it's all evil, corrupted fruit. We have to bear good fruit, don't we? Amen? So in wrapping up, I want to say our commitment must be back to biblical evangelism. In the conference, the last session, we're going to spend the whole time on how to share Christ with Muslims. But as Dr. Wood said, part of our ministry and what the Lord has called us to do is expose. We must first expose so that we can correct, so that we can equip. You can't equip and build on a foundation that right now is faulty in the church. Muslims are not going to get saved and they're going to hell, and Christians are going to get compromised. And as I said at the first session, at the very end, we lose our saltiness. We lose our light. We lose the witness because we're not operating by the power of God. We're operating by doctrines of demons. That's what this is. These are doctrines of demons. Satanic strategy. I pray today you've seen it. I pray today the Lord has opened your eyes. I pray today the Lord will equip you. And I pray the Holy Spirit will fall on His church and give us a renewed boldness to go out there and proclaim the gospel. As Dr. Wood said, we're not here to bash individual Muslims. We must love them to Christ. They are lost. They are slaves. They are victims of Islam. They need the rescuing, as I did, by the grace of God. But we must resist this ideology that is an Antichrist spirit and never, ever, ever give it access into the house of God. I pray we will have wisdom to turn back and stop what we're doing. God bless you. Pastor Woods, thank you again for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me go a little extra today. 6 hours, I got it to an hour and a half, so I did better for you. And I will see you back there. Lord bless you.